Welcome to the 84th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. So today in Florida, it's a little bit rainy. As I kind of bring you up to date, since last week, I've done on my triathlon training, my upcoming Ironman in October, I've done two swims, two runs, a bike run, and they all went pretty well. I did one weight session. I tried to put a yoga session in there. Long run went well last weekend, just under 16 miles, not quite as hot as it was the week before, so that was good. Unfortunately, on Sunday, our bike ride got delayed because of rain, and then was delayed into the afternoon. I went to the hospital before, and so nutrition wasn't quite right, so we didn't get quite as long a ride in as we'd like, but hopefully this weekend we'll get a long ride in and a long run. It was my birthday this week, so my mother made me a manicotti dinner, a plant-based manicotti. She is known, we have manicotti cook-offs at Christmas time usually, but it's one of one of our favorite meals, our special meals. So it was stuffed with cashew cream cheese and spinach, and she adds a little garlic and allspice to the filling, so it's really good. And she's really good with her sauces. Had a nice salad with that. And then the rest of the week, we actually redid the manicotti one more time. But I also made myself cannoli tarts over the weekend with a cashew cheese and dates. So that turned out good. And I made the tart crust with a little whole wheat flour and a little brown sugar in that. So it turned out good, not limited the oil for the most part. We had some cauliflower, sweet potato. My garden is still producing lots of okras, so we had an okra tomato dish. One night we had stuffed peppers with rice, tomato, and beans. One night we had okra, green beans, bok choy, carrot stir fry. So, and then one night we had pizza. And had eggplant on the pizza with spinach, mushrooms, tomatoes, and basil. So that was always good. I also harvested my first sweet potato. I have this bed that's 4x8 that has these sweet potato vines that are growing out of control. And I was actually trimming them back this weekend and thought I'd just kind of stick my hand down in the dirt and see if I could feel anything. And I pulled out a potato. So it was a nice sized potato. So I'm hoping that there's lots more there because there's certainly lots of vines. So that's pretty exciting. It's kind of funny that you can grow sweet potatoes in Florida. That's something I would never think of. It seems like a northern kind of fall type harvest crop, but they tend to grow abundantly down here apparently. So I'm having success with sweet potatoes. So that's pretty cool. We didn't have nutrition class this week. It's every other week, but I have had some contact with a few patients that aren't probably doing so well with vacations and different events, that they've kind of fallen off the wagon a little bit. And so we talked, and I've actually come up with an idea to introduce a new concept in my office that'll be actually available to my podcast listeners as well. But I'm going to start telemedicine conferences so that people can be patients from remotely. And there's a way to interact with my website, and then a special app that you can be utilized on a smartphone that I can see you and you can see me, and we can go over medications, lab works, blood pressures, weights, and do a pretty comprehensive consult as far as cardiovascular risk factor modification, diabetes modification, hypertension modification, and you know, we can actually probably get people off their meds if things aren't too complicated via the teleconferences. So I'm excited about launching that. If you, there'll be more up on my website, but you can go to drdelaney.com to find out more about that. You can also call my office at 941-235-9231. That's also on the website, and we can set up a telemedicine conference. So what I plan to do with my nutrition class people is we're going to do follow-ups. That way insurance can help cover the cost of follow-ups, hopefully for up to a year, to get people so they can stay on the plant-based nutrition wagon, and we can troubleshoot as they go along. And I think overall we'll have better success. You know, when people are 3 or 4 months out and things start to get a little difficult. So I'm looking forward to starting that process. In talking with those patients, I kind of learned that, you know, a lot of people can't remember what they eat. And it seems like the people that have the most difficulty with the transition and losing weight tend to not be aware of what they're eating. And I think then when that happens, there's probably a lot of snacking going on that people forget about, or grabbing something here and there that people just don't count, and a lot of overeating. And a lot of eating, you know, and I think that's where nuts become really a problem. Again, you know, I mentioned that I made some cashew cheese and some nut cheeses for filling, but there's really a not very, you know, I'm still staying within the 2 to 4 ounces of nuts per day in that, and I'm certainly not snacking on nuts for the pleasure of just snacking on nuts. I do put walnuts in my breakfast. You know, like 6 or 8 walnut halves. But as far as doing, and certainly you want to stay away from dry roasted, because those are just roasted with extra oil in them. So if you're going to eat any nuts at all, try to make them part of your meal, and make sure that they're raw, because these dry roasted ones have a lot of extra calories. So that's why I really don't like people to snack on the nuts. I'd rather them eat, you know, I'd like the Chef AJ approach, if you haven't looked at her website, where, you know, there's a lot of vegetables that go into the snack. So you want to make sure you get a tremendous amount of vegetables at your mealtime so that you're really getting full, because they don't have a lot of calories. And a lot of times people will think they're full, they'll stop eating, but an hour later they're hungry. And then that's when they go for the nuts or the popcorn or the other things that tend to end up being not nutrient dense and but calorie dense. So I like people to try to eat as much as, you know, till they're full and get good calories in at their main meals. But, you know, the snacking, I think you really have to try to curb out and get rid of, because most of the time it's just a habit. And if you find yourself really hungry in the evening after your dinner, then I don't think you're eating enough at dinner time. Sometimes, you know, I know myself, if I start to snack in the evening, it's out of boredom. You start watching TV and you want something to do during the commercials. So if that's the problem, then get up and take a walk or fast forward through commercials, but try to get yourself or break yourself of the evening snacking, because I think that becomes a problem with people. I have an interview today with Dr. Joel Kahn. Dr. Kahn is a cardiologist in the Detroit area, and he's been in practice since the 1990s. And he has an interesting story. His father was on practiced the Pritikin diet way back when. He became a vegetarian, and then Dr. Kahn himself became a vegetarian and vegan at an early age, basically going to college and deciding that he didn't like the food. But he, in the later days, when he read John Robbins' book, A Diet for a New America, he was convinced, and he's really practice what he's preached throughout his cardiology career. And, you know, he was interventionally trained. He went to the University of Michigan for medical school and did his fellowship in cardiology at the University of Texas Southwest. And St. Luke did an interventional rotation and fellowship at St. Luke's and Mid-America Hospital. So, I mean, he's extremely well-trained interventionalist. And just as he was finishing his interventional training, Dean Ornish published his book on preventing and reversing heart disease through plant-based nutrition. And, you know, he could have ignored it, like the majority of cardiologists ignore it and keep doing their intervention and keep putting out little fires as they come along and watching disease progress. But he became very proactive and has developed, you know, plant-based nutrition has been an integral part of his practice. And now he does that solely. He has a book called The Whole Heart Solution, Heart Disease Now with the Best Alternative and Traditional Medicine. And it's a great book. It's been out for a little over a year. He also is a prolific writer. He writes for One Green Planet. He writes for Reader's Digest. He has a documentary movie coming out this year, or the end of this year. It will be in the Detroit, Michigan area, called The Hearty Plate. It'll also be nationally released later on. So, you know, keep your eye out for that. And he and his son have a vegan restaurant with heart-healthy food. So he'll talk more about that in the interview, and I think you'll enjoy it. He's very outspoken about hospitals and how they're really not in the business for health. They're in the business for being in the business of disease. And so we talk a good bit about, you know, it could be such a turning force if hospitals would start to educate people on whole food plant-based diet and would take the fast food out of the hospitals and start to you know, be a lighthouse for physicians and nurses to start spreading the word of a whole food plant-based diet. So we both realize we have a lot of work to do, but we share in common a passion for helping our patients and educating our patients and supporting them in their plant-based journey. So it was a great pleasure to speak with Dr. Khan. I look forward to keeping in touch with him and following him. He's a great mentor and really is serving his community well. So without further ado, here's Dr. Khan. Welcome, Dr. Joel Khan. Dr. Khan has been an advocate of a whole food plant-based diet as a cardiologist for a long time. He walks the walk. He has written a wonderful book called The Whole Heart Solution, Halt Heart Disease, and it's been very, very well received. You've started a restaurant. You educate your patients. So, you were an interventional cardiologist. You still do some interventional intervention if need be, but you're more on the preventive side. So welcome, Dr. Khan.
Well, thank you very much. I've listened to your podcast for a long time, and I am excited to be conversing with you.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. We get two cardiologists that are plant-based and on the phone at one time, correct?
I think it's the beginning of a gigantic movement. As our past president of the American College of Cardiology, Kim Williams, says, there's only two kinds of cardiologists, vegans and those that haven't read the literature. So I guess you and I get credit for reading the literature.
Yes, that's very good. So I was looking at, some of your website and things, and your father followed the Pritikin diet way back when, and you had a father-in-law that took you to the hospital. So tell me about how things got started for you.
Yeah, that's true. I met my wife when I was 10 and met her parents, became my father-in-law. He was a physician. And, you know, I knew early on that this seemed to interest me. And I got to give actually credit to the mother. My mother dragged my father to Pritikin and took away his goulash and meatloaf and replaced it with lentil loaf, you know, 35 years ago. God bless Nathan Pritikin and his center in California and in Miami. But really, my story is in a nutshell. I walked into my dormitory freshman year, 1977, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. I looked in the cafeteria and I said, I guess I'm vegetarian. Everything looks so disgusting except the salad bar. Absolutely true story. No medical background, no environmental or animal rights background. And then a few years later, somebody gave me right out of the box, John Robbins' Diet for New America. Really filled my head with, you know, gosh, this diet actually has a lot of implications, because I didn't hang with any really vegetarian friends. And then I just kept going, and we were already fully plant-based. I had a couple kids and managed not to go to jail for raising my kids plant-based, unlike this stupid uproar in Italy over one set of parents and one child that's been in the news lately. But anyways, in 1990, I finished my training in interventional cardiology with Dr. Jeff parts of Kansas City. I moved back to the Michigan area, my hometown area, and I had an awesome 3 weeks, Jamie, because I was stenting and I was really ballooning because it was pre-stent time. Every artery that needed a balloon, I was doing 3-vessel, 4-vessel, 5-vessel. It was a great 3 weeks. The reason I say 3 weeks, 3 weeks after I started is when Dean Ornish published that first paper, The Lifestyle Heart Trial, that demonstrated that a plant-based diet could reverse long-standing coronary artery disease. And you know, a lot of people probably saw it in the Lancet and just, you know, tossed it in the corner. And I said, wow, I can't believe that, you know, this little bit I've learned about plant-based nutrition for the past 13 years is a therapy and it's powerful. So I really just started teaching patients in 1990 and kind of kept it going to this very day. I own the trademark on a phrase that absolutely ticks off my hospital: prevent, not stents. And of course, I actually think the answer is prevent and stent, or after you stent, you should prevent, because, yeah, there are people that need the technology that medicine offers, but, you know it and I know it. We're about the only group that ever even talks about any kind of nutritional plan to heart patients. You know, we haven't moved the needle very far in the 26 years since Dr. Dean Ornish published that amazing scientific breakthrough.
Yeah, it's amazing, and you know, kudos to you. It's very difficult. You know, we're taught basically how to take care of sick people, and you know, now all of a sudden John Robbins was the one that woke me up too, and you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, it's like, well, now we just need to prevent this, not, you know, we don't really need to fix it if we can prevent it. So as a cardiologist, we're typically the second, you know, we're the referral source, or we're the source that gets referred to, yet these people are coming that we could have prevented. So it's a difficult tightrope in some respects. You know, you're taught all these great interventions, and then, but on the other hand, it's like, well, actually cooking and teaching you how to eat plant-based may be a better therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people are up about the growth of the human, and you know, our medical data is so much more than it was 25 years ago. It's by far our style of eating that has supported the medical for cardiovascular disease, blood pressure, diabetes, increasing erectile dysfunction, pre and post cancer management. I mean, we win the battle with science by far compared to even the Mediterranean diet. But you know, I think it's a crazy system.
Well, I said, you know, there are. People are sometimes optimistic that the plant-based movement is growing, sometimes rapidly. The amount of scientific data for supporting the idea you can keep your health optimal with plant-based nutrition is large and way more robust than any other dietary pattern. But I'm still concerned because I see a government that supports the basic food items that make these processed foods cheap. People say that it would cost a family of $4.75 to eat at McDonald's if it weren't for government subsidies. Those habits lead people to develop the very diseases that we then, through our tax dollars, pay for medical care that is truly just a Band-Aid. People are in the hospital. They see examples of bad food. People follow up, and they don't never have a healthcare provider. You routinely speak about nutrition and reversal. And the whole system, you know, the billions and, you know, billions of dollars and years of life and suffering. I mean, you know, you and I know we're passionate because we know the impact this can have. And until we can break through to the hospital system, to, you know, medical school and nursing school and dental school and osteopathic school and chiropractic school education, and, you know, and bring some common sense, whether it's a complete immersion into plant-based diet, whether it's just, you know, some sort of clean eating pattern that's, you know, radically different than you'd see in almost any hospital lobby, you know, which is the biggest irony there is, that my university hospital in Detroit has a Wendy's in the lobby. I mean, you know, I can't tolerate that anymore. That is, you know, it's farcical. It's tragic and it's harmful. You know, so I'm delighted that the movement has more visibility than it used to. But the real shakers and movers need a kick in the butt so that we can actually start, you know, turning the needle and making this country a healthier and thriving, you know, place, not riddled by chronic diseases. So, you know, my rant is emotional because I've seen so many people suffer from, you know, this whole cycle that's very hard to break. So many dollars and interests and, you know, infrastructure.
Are you in private practice or are you in a group?
I have had many different phases. I call myself the runaway bride of cardiology in Detroit area because I've actually some of the most successful practices that I helped found and build because my wandering spirit said you need to move on and recreate yourself. So I, 4 years ago, was a university professor and director of preventive cardiology at a major university hospital system in Detroit. I then re-entered private practice and right now I'm in a solo practice doing only preventive cardiology. I have one employee, it's a dream deal because I do actually now have the time and the. I surrounded myself with some. My tagline is high tech, high touch, high fiber. Because I mean, I spent a lot of time with patients that I didn't have the luxury of. I actually have some really high tech labs and vascular testing that would make any cardiologist proud. But you know, a lot of it's on nutrition. I mean, I have a Nutribullet on my desk, and I have bottles of turmeric and rosemary on my desk because the message is very clear in my office. You know, that what you put in your mouth is going to determine your health to a large extent.
Yeah, I think it's pretty difficult. I have a similar path. I've been in the university cardiology route. I've been in giant groups, and the giant groups don't really want to hear much about preventative cardiologists, especially if their biggest guys are interventional. So it works out much nicer by yourself. Plus, the board meetings are shorter.
I haven't even thought of the word board meeting in a while. Thanks for putting a smile on my face.
Yeah, it's
always was board meetings spelled the wrong way, B-O-R-E-D.
So you get patients that are actually now interested in, they probably know that you're the guy to go if they want to get off their medications and they want to help themselves. Would you say that was more of your patients, or do you get people that walk in and it's like, what's this Nutribullet thing?
Yeah, it's a mix, and it's interesting. I had a patient this week, 365-pound, very high-level exec with General Motors, financially not an issue. And he said, I just know this can't work. Something horrible is going to happen. Just do everything you can to characterize what's going on inside, and I'll listen to you because, you know, since I was 19 years old, I've been 200 pounds overweight. You know, and that kind of willingness to find out and explore. Now, I don't know if he's going to be eating plant-based in 4 weeks or not, but for the first time in his life, he's got a checklist on a prescription. They have to watch folks overnight, subscribe to nutritionfacts.org, you know, download a 21-day vegetarian starter kit and get some information. I like giving these people now some of the names of some of these food delivery services that are nationwide and give a range of prices and organic or non-organic. But, you know, not everybody's going to be able to cook and have in the refrigerator ready to go plant-based meals that are nutritious, low in salt, high in fiber and nutrients. So I can name the names, but there's about at least half a dozen really good companies now that at least for the first few weeks make it that transition easy. And then, yeah, I do have people that are already plant-based. And they've just been searching for a physician that won't belittle them and tell them to add eggs and bacon back or they'll lose their mind. And if their cholesterol goes too low, they're never going to have an erection or some physiologic response. I mean, it's nonsense because the best health in general and the best sexual health should be in people with the cleanest of arteries, which is all favored by, you know, plant strong or plant perfect diets, a variety of terms that confuse me, but people use.
Are you doing any nutrition classes in the office, or you're just flooding them with the literature and the assignments, then you bring them back? What's the approach then, you know? Because sometimes it can be overwhelming in the office situation when you say, you know.
Yeah, so excellent question. I don't yet, and I probably, you know, sometimes I need a kick in the butt. A lot of times it's a patient that says, you know, I really want you to set up a nutrition class, then I'll do it. I should have them already. But we have a couple. So my usual is there is actually a prescription pad that the Plantrition Project just came out with, and I add to it. But I tell my patients, I have a prescription pad. This is your homework, and we're going to review it on the next appointment. You're going to tell me what you thought when you watched Forks Over Knives. I want you to watch Plant Pure Nation. I want you to buy one book. I don't care if it's my book or Dr. Esselstyn's book or Dr. Ornish's book or Dr. Furman's book or Dr. Bernard's book, but you need to read one book. You need to sign up for nutritionfacts.org, and, you know, we're going to review your homework assignment. You know, and they don't all do all of it, but a huge number of people do at least one or two of those steps. Number two, we have something in Detroit that's unique, and I would hope when I say this, there'll be more of this spreading. About 2.5 years ago, I got a random phone call. My name is Paul. I live in Detroit. I'm a heart patient. You're not my doctor, but I ask everybody who supports plant-based nutrition for heart patients, your name comes up. We had coffee, and his ask was that a year prior to that cup of coffee, he was in the Cleveland Clinic waiting to have bypass surgery the next day. His cardiologist did him a big favor by saying, I know you don't want to meet this guy, but we've got this strange doctor at the Cleveland Clinic who believes he can stop heart disease with diet, Dr. Esselstyn. Before you go under the knife tomorrow morning, do you want me to try and call him and see if he'll see you? This man, Paul Chatelain, said, oh, my God, are you joking? He checked himself out of the hospital. And now for about 4.5 years, he's the prophet. He eats perfect, exactly as Dr. Esselstyn designed the program. And he's dropped weight, cholesterol, blood pressure, never had bypass. He plays his tennis again, doesn't get chest pain. His ask to me was, can we make a support group? Despite my absolute confidence, this is the best decision I ever made. I don't know anybody else doing it. And I know some great places to buy food, and other people probably do. And I said, yes, let's get 20 people together. February 2014, I took a room in the hospital. I had to tell them it was, you know, kind of a, just a general heart lecture. I told them it was nutrition. They never would have given me the room. And 150 people showed up on a snowy winter day, which you can't relate to in Florida anymore. But I said to Paul, whoa, I gave a little impromptu lecture. I said, let's do this again in March 2014. 180 people showed up. So we officially called it the Plant-Based Nutrition Support Group. We have a website with five letters, pbnsg.org, plantbasednutritionsupportgroup.org. We have a Facebook page and all the rest. It's a great resource for anybody. Most of our lectures are videotapes. There's recipes. There's Ask the Doctor sections. We've been able to invite in Dr. Barnard, Rip Esselstyn, Dr. Esselstyn, Colin Campbell, Juliana Heber, plant-based dietitian, and Dr. McDougall came in by Skype. So I can refer my patients, you know, August 23rd at 6:30 p.m. at Groves High School, Dr. Joel Kahn is giving a lecture on the miracle of heart disease reversal through diet, because I happen to be the August speaker, or whomever it is. And it's really taken, you know, the responsibility and put it in a social setting where people have friends and they see, you know, young people, old people, white people, black people, thin people. You know, we don't have people sign a statement that they guarantee they had no animal products in the last week or they can't come in. I wish we could almost, you know, do a metal detector for casein or some such thing. But it's been a really, so there, as I said, there's over 2,000 members now. It's grown like a weed, and we have no financial support. It's the ultimate grassroots response to what appeared to be a need in the community to support healthy eating and healthy education. So pretty cool. We should, you know, every major town should have, you know, one committed person and one committed physician and one committed financier, whether it's Whole Foods or some sort of a plant-friendly business that will benefit from it. And it's really a great, great model.
Yeah, we've started a couple meetup groups around here that have been very helpful. Same situation going on. So there's both
awesome.
little towns, and yeah, it is very helpful. So I'll send my patients there, and you know, to both of them, and we meet and try to go out and try to encourage restaurants to do a low
healthy
oil
options.
Plant-based meal for us. And so that's good. It kind of spurs, you know, because people want to go out, especially, you know, Florida is a retirement area and people want to socialize by going out to dinner. So we're trying to grow the environment that people can actually get healthy food. And on that note, tell me a little bit about your healthy food restaurant.
Yeah. So there's a famous statement in the restaurant world. If you want to make a small fortune in the restaurant business, start with a large fortune. So about 2.5 years ago, I have three wonderful children. The oldest one, Daniel, has an MBA, was working in finance, and was bored. So he was working in restaurants at nights and weekends just to stimulate himself a bit. And we started talking about, you know, he was plant-based fully and committed. You know, what if we found a little franchise for a juice or a smoothie and started searching and looking? And then a vegetarian restaurant in Detroit came on the market, and we made some efforts to buy it. It was small. It didn't have a liquor license, and probably a good thing. It just never happened. And out of that knowledge, another piece of real estate came available in a town called Ferndale, which is a funky neighborhood adjacent to Detroit. And it had a liquor license. It was 40 seats. And, you know, as we said about a year and a half ago, that we signed a lease, we're taking it, got a restaurant designer. We're just going to do some modifications. A week into that, the restaurant general contractor says, you know, this is a decrepit place. We need to gut it. So we just ended up ripping everything out. And we're then able to design a kitchen that was perfectly manufactured for cooking plant-based, because we don't have fryers and we needed extra coolers because we have, you know, hundreds of pounds of produce. And then the oddity was the store next door was a clothing store, and the owner happened to pass away in the middle of our construction. Very large space. The landlord called us and said, you know, you can take it right now, break holes in the wall and make your place really rocking. So we ended up tripling the size and opened 9 months ago. It's called Green Space Cafe. It's a 4,000 square feet, about 140 seat, completely vegan restaurant, completely either non-GMO or certified organic food everywhere. There isn't anything that has ever seen a Roundup or a glyphosate. And a real gourmet menu with a 25-seat bar, raw juices and raw juice cocktails, organic vegan wines. And it's been crazy. It's actually gotten extremely busy. Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, we serve 300 to 400 people. Recently opened for lunch, added some volume, and we'll open for brunch. And I spend a lot of time there. That's actually helped. I see a patient at 2 o'clock, and sometimes they know I'm in the restaurant business, sometimes they don't. And either way, at 5:30, I see them eating a gourmet, plant-based. We have an extensive menu compliant with Dr. Esselstyn. That's an option if people want pad thai not made with oil. We have pad thai that's perfectly free of oil, every ingredient. And we have, other gourmet items and salads and bowls, many, many bowls, and incredible Indian food that's oil-free by choice if people want. And then the rest of the menu is, whatever. So we've won some awards, best vegan restaurant, best gluten-free restaurant, best gourmet, plant-based restaurant, such, in a very short time. And it's a passion. It's totally time-consuming, totally service-oriented. It's not the way anybody ever, gets wealthy. But when you're in this and the opportunity came up, so anybody wants to check, it's greenspacecafe.com on the web or a very active Facebook page.
Fantastic. It sounds wonderful. I wish it were close by. That's
yeah.
That's good.
So
turning it back a little bit into, your practice, I had a patient in today, and the guy had seen another cardiologist, and he said, he told me point blank, if I don't take a statin, I'm going to die. So what's your take? We all have patients that, despite their best efforts, that are pretty good. There are patients that swear to me up and down, they're pretty trim, that, they're really not eating any oils, for the most part, they're rare going out, and they still have an LDL that's greater than 70. So, and they may have some vascular disease. Do you add statins at that point, or do you take the Esselstyn approach more like that? Well, okay, the cholesterol is not going to hurt them that bad because their ability to oxidize is pretty low.
Yeah, well, I have adopted a tagline. I'd like to say it's mine, but it's that rule. You got to say it 3 or 4 times, then you can say it's yours, which is test, not guess. And, there's available now, as you're aware, Jamie, Cleveland Heart Lab, Boston Heart, and the others. So my patients, I sit down and go through 8 pages of labs, and I know their particle size and their particle number and their oxidized LDL level, and I know their TMAO level, and I know their, their every inflammatory marker right now, that's a cardiovascular marker, and vitamin levels and heavy metal levels, a little bit of the functional medicine training I've had. And, a lot of this is weight and insulin resistance. So a lot of it is omega-3 deficiency. It's not just vegans. My meat-eating patients are severely low in omega-3, which is a blood test you can get. So if their LDL particle number's up and they've got C-reactive protein up, which I don't like that combination, but they're very deficient in omega-3, I'll teach them about ground flaxseed and chia and walnuts and maybe algae-based supplements with EPA, DHA. If they're in the plant-based world, I'll still use occasional high quality fish oil and a non-vegan, if that's more convenient for them. And, it's surprisingly, you can see, the cholesterol respond really well when you, work on lifestyle and replace a nutritional deficiency. And it's not that I never use statins, but I'm sure if I had a chart review, I use them, 10% of the time compared to most practices. And, and it's self-selected because a lot of people come to me because of either side effects or they're just their desire. Now, there's some that I just almost beg them to go on, a statin and Zevi or something because their LDL's 290. But, that's pretty rare.
Yeah, good. That's pretty much my approach. It's funny, how your practice evolves. you know, at one point. I've always been, you know, get your cholesterol down, get your cholesterol down. You know, you can't get low enough. But it was with statins, you know, and now it's like, okay, do this with diet and statins. You know, I'm rushing to get them off, you know, just because of some of the side effects that people are having. So,
yeah, without a doubt, you know, it's fiber, fiber, fiber. There's that crazy data that Dr. Michael Greger, Nutrition Facts Network, posts down then that 4 Brazil nuts a month can lower your cholesterol, LDL 20%. I mean, there's just, you know, turmeric lowers cholesterol, and I do a fair amount. There are some supplements that are geared to lower cholesterol. I'll use some red yeast rice and even some niacin, particularly in people that either have had a bad result with statins or just really don't want to be on them. I mean, I don't think they're horrible drugs, but there clearly are people that their memory deteriorates every time they're on it, or their blood sugar goes up whenever they're on one, and you can document it, and those people need other approaches, and you know, what you put in your mouth should be the most important, but there can be some fun ones beyond that.
So what's the future? You're doing a lot of lecturing, travel.
Yeah, actually the most exciting thing I got going on, thank you for asking, is my first book. I was approached, I don't even remember anymore, Reader's Digest magazine about 3 years ago asked me to write a column for a year as America's Holistic Heart Doc, my zaniness. And it led to a book deal with them. And, you know, they're still, although an older publishing house and such, they still have a very dynamic business. And so I wrote a book and published a book called The Whole Heart Solution that's been out about a year and a half. So I had a goal to turn that into a special for public television, teaching nutrition and fitness and mind-body. And it took a while to raise the money because it's not an inexpensive thing to produce an hour or a 90-minute show. But that's premiering in Detroit in September and then for the country at the end of the year. I don't know that it's the first time that the V word will be said on public television, the vegan diet data. I've got, you know, charts about Dr. Ornish's reversal data and other such data that are in the show. It's already been filmed a couple weeks ago, and I think it came out real well. So I'm very excited about that. I have another book coming out. I've never really written a completely vegan book, and this will be a rant called The Hearty Plate. Obviously focusing on the amazing data, plant-based nutrition for all forms of artery disease from the head to the toe. And just give a shout out to sexual organs that are just begging you to eat extra broccoli or eggplant or tomato. Expanding the restaurant. I blog for Huffington Post and Mind Body Green. I just finished a piece for Mind Body Green on this recent nonsense. You know, one family raising one child in Italy maybe weren't providing him a balanced plant-based diet, and the kid got sick, although he survived. And out of that, there's a proposed law in Italy that would make raising children on a vegan diet illegal. You know, in the same week that the American Heart Association published data in the United States that 91% of American children are eating largely garbage as their mainstay of calories. That should be the headline. That should be the goal. That should be, you know, more fruits and vegetables, whole grains and legumes. That would be the message, not, you know, the media's love of taking an isolated case and anything that sometimes puts, you know, our minority group, in this case vegans, in a somewhat bad limelight in one case study. So, I'd love to continue to be out there. And I'm a very loving vegan when I'm talking to people, but somebody's just got to say, there's so much BS out there that, I'm at a meeting right now with the coffee and butter people, you know, the coconut oil and coffee with 2 tablespoons of butter, kind of nonsense that goes on. You know, once in a while, you just got to puke and say, this isn't right. We, you know, the world would be a better place. The planet would be a better place. The animals would be a better place. But most importantly, if you want to feel good every day, power your life with healthy, maybe organic, but certainly healthy fruits and veggies. And give it a try, because you could turn your health around in a few weeks. You know it. I know it. So I'd like to continue to be as much a spokesperson for that. I'm concerned the paleo movement has so many, particularly in, you know, manly men kind of images. I think it's all false, but they do. And, you know, we need to have as many healthy spokespersons. You keep running. I'll keep doing my cardio and banging out loving and angry messages both, because we need great examples that, walk the walk and talk the talk both.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy with the Olympics, with their sponsors, and I realize that, it's money, yeah. But, you see these children that they look up to these athletes, and it's like, okay, yeah. So these athletes aren't living on Coca-Cola and McDonald's, but yet we act like that, that the Coke is the mighty fuel of an Olympian. And
there's no guarantee that you're in the Olympics and you know much about nutrition. It's probably more prevalent, because I understand, I have a friend that's down there as a coach to the Olympic team, and texting me that the McDonald's are actually inside the Olympic dorm. So, they're right there, and, you're 19 years old and there's free, quarter pounders. You're probably not thinking right at that moment about, the content of saturated fat and herbicides and pesticides and antibiotics. So it's the fact that McDonald's is the major sponsor, the fact that, until recently Coca-Cola was a major sponsor of the American Heart Association is, sleeping with the devil. But that's why it's exciting to see the rise of some of these, healthy and plant-based companies in terms of their financial strength, Hampton Creek and Haynes and others, because wouldn't it be awesome if you actually saw a medical meeting sponsored by a healthy, food source? But, the money speaks, and right now most of the money is in the bad side of the food chain in terms of these kind of sponsorships.
Yeah, I went to the International Plant-Based Nutrition Conference last year out in California, and it was so great to actually go to a medical meeting that the food was plant-based and wonderful. It's such a big change from, having the steak and shrimp laid all over the place with the traditional meetings.
Yeah, you could make a case I wouldn't eat steak and shrimp, but, I used to go to the National Lipid Association meetings, pretty prestigious, and speakers were overweight, and I've never seen a meeting with five kinds of bacon in the morning, and I don't exaggerate. Hickory bacon, maple bacon, plain bacon, anchor bacon, fortunately, now anybody with any rational brain should know that the World Health Organization announced in October 2015 that bacon isn't possibly a cause of cancer. Bacon is cancer. Bacon is colorectal cancer. So just volunteer for your colostomy if you're going to continue to eat bacon, hot dogs, and processed meats. But that's a personal decision. I'm completely ripped and upset with hospitals that, here you have a major independent body of research, the World Health Organization and its International Agency of Cancer Research, coming out with this announcement. And, I'm not aware of one hospital in the United States that said, in view of the fact that they now consider processed red meat on par with smoking, we will no longer serve processed red meat to our patients, our staff, and our nurses. I mean, what a brave, amazing, and visionary move that would be. I'm not aware of, there's some hospitals doing really, really good things, like Lee Memorial and Fort Myers and others. But, not once. I have a Facebook. I think I'm the only physician in the world that has a protest page on Facebook called Ban Hospital Food Carcinogens, which every day, it's a pain in the rear for me. I'm posting new data on why hospitals are basically unethical and CEOs are unethical to continue to allow that food group to be served in hospitals, as opposed to what you do in your own home. Now, we can't legislate what you do in your own home, but you could take hot dogs out of Sloan Memorial Kettering tomorrow, which is, an embarrassment that they still serve hot dogs in their cafeteria when they're leading cancer center. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah, I was very close to getting Meatless Monday through our one hospital, and then they changed CEOs, and I was informed directly by him that it's every person's right to have meat.
Yeah, that's why I did this Facebook page, because I had 10 years as director of cardiac rehab in my hospital and a lot of influence. When this came out, I went back to him calmly and said, look at the data. I've been talking to you for years. Now what are you going to say? And it took 6 weeks to get executive committee. We think people should have a choice. So I said, just put smoking bars back in. Why be inconsistent?
Yeah, exactly. So like the VAs used to be, I did my cardiology fellowship at the University of Pittsburgh, and at the VA rotation, they had, it was cold in the winter there, and they, you go out of the door, but you still be in the hospital, and they're kind of between the glass doors of the hospital, and where the hot air was blowing and the people were smoking, and you just hold your breath and run for about 20 feet to try to get through the blue smoke.
Or smoking through your tracheostomy in the lobby of the VA hospital. I remember that too, but you know, the bacon is the new cigarette, at least in terms of hospital ethics. And, you know, we can't stay silent, even though my hospital keeps twisting it. Well, it's a vegan issue, and we're not a vegan hospital. This has nothing to do with veganism. It has to do with, you know, a reasonable, ethical, and medically sound choice to favor the health of the public. So, you know, hopefully some of your listeners were. Yeah, I invite anybody who's visiting relatives or in the hospital and gets that hospital tray with eggs, sausage, Hellman's mayonnaise, and a white flour pancake to find me on Facebook and post the picture. And let me take the heat. I mean, see, that's the joy I have of being a little bit older and not dependent on hospitals anymore. Is, I mean, I'm very unpopular in my town amongst hospital administrators. We have a Wendy's in the lobby of our university hospital. And although the CEO of that hospital is plant-based and one of the most amazing physicians I've ever met, I don't know why the contract, the funding, the politics. You know, thank God Neil Barnard and PCRM has also highlighted that hospital as, you know, what an offensive example of mixed messages to an urban setting that needs consistent messages because of obesity, hypertension, congestive heart failure. So, you know, anyways, Harper University Hospital hopefully will have a victory party when, like, Abbott Northwestern in Minneapolis to shut down their McDonald's. And somebody send me a picture of the sign on the door, you know, we are closed for business and we'll never reopen. I mean, that's like epically wonderful news.
Craziness. Well, it, you know, I mean, it's changed my practice. I'm so much more passionate about my practice because I'm actually getting people off their medicines. They're feeling better. Their chest pain goes away. It's more than I ever did with traditional cardiology. And, you know, I'm just happy to spread the word. And it's one person at a time, like yourself and Dr. Barnard and Dr. Furman. And it's, you know, it's a pleasure to be able to know there's someone out there that I can call up and say, hey, you know, let me cry on your shoulder a little bit. And what's going on? What's going on in Detroit? And tell me about your menu again.
Take a look or come on up. Come on up and I'll get you to speak for our plant-based group. We can fill the auditorium. And I encourage you, you know, look up Mind Body Green or I can introduce you. You know, we need more physicians that are writing blogs and commenting. And there's a absolutely evil cardiologist in London, Malhotra. I'm blanking on his first name. He's young. He's maybe 35. He's an interventional cardiologist. Malhotra, M-A-L-H-O-T-R-A, and he has gotten headlines now multiple times around the world for announcing that everything is wrong in cardiologists' perception, that the problem is we don't eat enough butter and we don't eat enough beef. And please add beef and butter to your diet starting today. He's actually set up a bogus society called the National Obesity Foundation, NOF, in England. It's highly funded by the meat industry and the dairy industry. And yeah, unfortunately, that gets headlines around the world. He's had headlines all over the United States. So, you know, those of us that feel that there's science there, I just wrote a blog about that called Science versus Swagger, because he's the swagger of the pendulum. And, you know, in the same week that Harvard University School of Public Health, you know, recently announced that animal protein, short lifespan, plant protein, long lifespan, enormous study. Dr. Malhotra writes a article in The Guardian or one of the UK ragtags about, you know, more butter for my patients makes them healthier. And it's just, you know, irresponsible, but very popular and probably very profitable for him. So, you know, I invite you to, you know, be a loving vegan, but be angry about the abuse and the impact it has on people trying to figure out what to do day to day. It's very confusing for them, obviously.
Hey, what's it called anymore?
Yeah, like Dr. Tuttle's refers to a stage 2B vegan, angry vegan. So, yeah, I think that maybe I'll have to look him up and address that a little bit.
Absolutely. Malhotra.
Gotcha.
I hate to give any, you know, press, but the only press you should get is that more of us, you know, speak out and respond and are aware of his dangerous influence.
Great. How about your associate in town as far as cardiologist? You know, are they just happy you just do your thing and they do their thing? Are they starting to ask you questions? You know, how might I do this or...
Well, it'll be interesting. You know, I've been out of the closet as a vegan for, you know, more than two decades at my hospital. And I can remember, you know, in the early 1990s, the fried chicken, the fried potatoes, and every other sort of abomination while I was having the salad bar and maybe a vegetable soup. And, you know, I think there is a better awareness and better health choices in general, although, you know, I know my colleagues are in the steakhouses much more than in my restaurant. I celebrate them when they come to my place, for sure. I'll give them a free drink. Anybody listening, if you're a cardiologist, come to my restaurant, I'll give you a free drink. it might be raw kale juice and sake or something really creative. But, you know, this transition I've made in my practice where I'm not on, you know, somebody has to be on call at 3 a.m. and somebody has to deal with insurance and have, you know, many employees that drag it down. I mean, they're very curious about the fact that I seem to be thriving with a practice model. Based on, you know, I didn't create anything. The public is looking for somebody that either supports their dietary pattern, their desire to, you know, reverse disease, the desire to cut back on their medicine list. And, you know, I know in my town, if I could get a gastroenterologist to get interested in nutrition and alternatives to prescription drugs, now that would be the busiest gastroenterologist who would be able to charge appropriate to his level of expertise and supports, because, you know, that's another field that it's an easy, you know, equation. You got a problem, I've got a prescription, and I'm on to the next one. But, you know, you can heal most GI diseases with a change in lifestyle, nutrition, and perhaps a couple safe plant-based supplements.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing that, you know, the GI guys aren't on board at all. I've had a couple cardiologists approach me, but then say, "Oh, that's probably too hard." And it's like, well, you know, that's okay. You know, they're starting to think about it a little bit, and so let's start somewhere.
Yeah, I tell my colleagues, and I do it with a sense of humor and a bit of love, but, you know, a bite that, you know, what's hard is 8 tablets a day. What's hard is taking insulin injections, and what's hard is saying goodbye to your sexual life because you've really clogged off every artery in your body. And, you know, you still got a chance to reverse that if you'll wake up somewhere down the line. You know, I don't think cardiologists have any unique hold on health and longevity. I'm sure it's quite the opposite, which is why I don't mind having stepped out of the cath lab after decades of radiation. But, you know, it's got to come. That's why I look to the hospitals to be leaders. If they would set the tone, and even if they picked a model of the Mediterranean diet and said, you know, everything in the hospital is going to be consistent, because there goes the Twinkies and there goes the German chocolate cake and there goes the bacon. There's no bacon on the Mediterranean diet. You know, that would be a quantum leap. But, you know, I still see them serving fast food and sickness-related food. It's just not conscionable. Because if they would set the tone, more physicians would set the tone, and the nurses would set the tone, the patients would get the message, you know, and maybe ultimately even the food industry would hear it from another sector. I mean, the food industry is responding because there's a market out there for healthier choices and plant-based choices. Otherwise, these companies wouldn't be thriving like they're thriving beyond meat and incredible foods and veggie grill and all the others.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know you're at a meeting, so I really do appreciate your taking time to speak with me, and a lot of food for thought, a lot of good vegan food for thought, and good luck with, I can't wait to see your show, your movie,
Yeah, people can look forward, because not everybody's in Detroit, but the Whole Heart Solution on public television probably towards the end of the year in your community, and maybe I'll show up in your town doing, you know, the live pledge drive for public television, which will be my joy. It's a good thing to raise some money for them. But thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Maybe somewhere down the road we'll talk again, and definitely look forward to meeting you.
All right. Same here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good night. So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dr. Kahn. I certainly did. He's quite a dynamic individual. Again, it's nice to see physicians taking a role in reversing disease. And he's got it. He's had it for a long time. He's walking the walk. His family's walked the walk. He's raised children vegan. He has, his children are pursuing careers in being plant-based, you know, and they're all doing well, helping others and serving others. Just to reiterate, you can find Dr. Khan on Twitter at DrKahn. His website is drjoelkahn.com. The support group associated with his area in the greater Detroit area is pbnsg.org. The cafe is Green Space, all one word, Green Space Cafe. It's on Facebook, and there's a website that's beautiful that you can look at the wonderful recipes and the menu items that he has to offer. So check all that out. Look forward to, look at his book, The Whole Heart Solution, Halt Heart Disease Now, with the best alternative in traditional medicine. Look, if you're in the Detroit area, in Michigan area, look for his Hearty Plate PBS special, and then keep following the rest of the world, that it'll be coming around 6 to 9 months, maybe later in other places in the United States. So look forward to seeing those. If you're in the Michigan area and you want to get a consultation with Dr. Khan, I'm sure he'd be happy to see you and provide you with wonderful information and direct you to a great place to eat. Again, if you'd like to see me or do a telemedicine consult, contact our office. Look up at the drdelaney.com. You can see what I eat on a weekly basis on Instagram at Jamila Delaney. Little background by the German Shepherd. She always were waiting for that. And you can find me on Facebook. I don't post a whole lot there, but again, Instagram is where you can see what I eat for the most part. So until next time, enjoy yourself, eat plants strong, get out and get some exercise, and have a great week.